Let's turn to the book of Isaiah, called the Evangelical Prophet. More references to the coming Christ, the Messiah, in this book than in any other Old Testament book, so they say. My text, very well known verse of Scripture, and not take you long to memorize it. Most of you would know it anyway. It's verse 6 of the chapter. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. In the early days of D.L. Moody's ministry in Chicago, a man who attended his services regularly seemed on the verge of making a decision for Christ. Moody, of course, urged him to accept the Savior. But he said, "No, Mr. Moody, I cannot. My business partner is not a Christian. And if I accept Christ, he would ridicule me and mock me." Finally, annoyed at Moody's continually urging him, he stopped attending. One day, shortly after, the man's wife came to Moody's home, met with him and said, "Mr. Moody, my husband is very ill. Doctors are saying he cannot live. Won't you come and speak to him before he dies?" Of course, the great man did that and hurried to the home. Found this time the man was ready to listen. Brought him to the point of decision. The man seemed to accept Christ. And to everyone's surprise, he got better. Mr. Moody visited with him in convalescence. He said to him, "Now, brother, God has been so good to you and raised you up. As soon as you're able to come to the tabernacle, we'll get you to make a public confession of your acceptance of the Savior." "No, Mr. Moody, I cannot do that, for my partner would ridicule and mock me, and I cannot stand ridicule." Finally, he said, "I'm going to move to Michigan." Moody told him that the Lord could keep him in Chicago just as well as he could keep him in Michigan. The man wouldn't listen. A week after this encounter, he had a relapse. Moody went back to him, went to his bedside. Here's what the dying man said to the preacher. "I don't want you to talk to me. It will do no good. I had my chance, and I threw it away." D.L. Moody quoted the text, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Then he said, "Can I pray with you?" The man said, "Mr. Moody, it won't do any good." Moody, however, knelt down to pray, but had great difficulty in doing it, because the man who was dying in his presence kept saying, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and I am not saved." With those words being repeated, that poor soul went out into God's eternity, lost and undone. Our text is very relevant tonight. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, folks, the reality is that God will not always be found. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and the verse 24, "God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves." You can come to a point when you're beyond hope, when there's no chance that you'll ever get saved. It's while you can. It's now that you must call upon him. In the book of Proverbs, the book of the wise man, the very first chapter, verse 24 says, "Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set in naught all my counsel and would have none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. What an awful group of people to be in tonight. That there could come a time in your life when you'll call on him and he'll not hear you. You remember when Christ was before the authorities and was questioned, there came a time when it said Jesus answered him nothing. He didn't respond at all. That could be someone in this meeting or someone in this town and district. Because there is a time coming when he will not answer. Esau sought God with tears. The Lord didn't hear. This is why Isaiah calls out to the world of men the words in this text. Seek the Lord while he may be found. There'll come a time when he'll not be. Call upon him while he is near. There'll be a time when he's not near. That little text that says, the Lord is at hand. Folks, that's nothing to do with the second coming of Christ. There's an old Quaker translation that translates it like this, and it's probably near the right way. It says, the Lord is at your elbow. That's how close he is. Tonight, in this day of grace, in this age of hope, he's here. So close. But he may not be this time next week or next year or 10 years down the line. Who knows? I want to bring you to the text very briefly. I want you to think, first of all, that some of these words, I have called this a comforting text. You notice the words. It talks about him being near. This was a time when God was near. This age of grace in which we live is a time when God is near. Our God is omnipotent. That means he's all-powerful. Our God is omniscient. That means he's all-knowing. And our God is omnipresent. That means he's everywhere at once. So in that sense, of course, God is always there. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, these words. Listen. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. The psalmist had this absolute assurance. God was with him. Folks, that's a blessed thing to have and to know. Over the years, I have had to sit with people dying. Mr. Gray would know all about this too. And you watch people, and you see those who have a strong interest in Christ and a wondrous faith in the Savior, and there doesn't seem to be that fear and trepidation that there is at the bedside of an unconverted man or woman. You see, there's the knowledge in the child of God, and none of us are wishing to die tonight. We love life. We're glad of life. I'm thankful God has given me this year so far over the allotted span that we talk about. But I'll tell you this. One day it will happen. Mortal life will cease. This preacher will step inside the veil and stand before his God. And I trust and hope and believe that when that time comes, prior to my demise, I'll be ready and won't have the fear that others have. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, a shadow can't harm you. There's no substance in the shadow. Ah, but for the unsaved man, death is a reality. What a comfort to know he is near. Sometimes he's particularly near. And it's then that you must seek him. Friend, you'll never seek him when he's far from you. Statistically, most people are saved when they're young. Here's a word to younger people, a vital word. He says in Proverbs 8:17, those that seek me early, note that, shall find me. You can't come early enough. One of our ministers was saved when he was 3. Think of that. I told a wee brethren man once, I wasn't long saved, and him and I were having a discussion. Of course, he was trying to convert me to his ideas, but I told him, we happened to be talking about Dr. Paisley, and I said, you know, the big man was saved when he was 5 or 6. Not at all, he said. You can't be saved at that age. But you can. John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Ghost in the womb. How far back do you need to go? Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Now with the child prayers. Come in today, come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're not too young to come to Christ. But when you're young is the best time to come. Because it's not only a soul that's saved, bless God, it's a life. Don't let the devil ensnare you. Don't let sin entice you. Don't let sinners encourage you to linger in your sin. Like that man that was afraid of ridicule with Moody at the start of the message. Oh, don't let it happen to us. The Lord Jesus was very near, wasn't he, to Bartimaeus as he passed through Jericho. I told you before in these meetings that I don't believe that any miracle was wrought within the boundary of the city of Jericho because it's the city of the curse. But the Lord Jesus was approaching, and then he was going out of. And it says in Luke 18, as Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, my, how near he was. And never again after this day would the Lord Jesus pass that way. He was on his way to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem to Calvary. Bartimaeus had a chance when the Lord was near. He had no chance when the Lord was far off. And folks, so it is to you tonight. You know when the Lord's near to sinners, I'll tell you. When the gospel is preached. Because he assembles with his people. And I would suggest that the majority in this meeting tonight profess faith in Christ, so he's here. And the gospel message as it's preached indicates that he's near. And you can reach out and touch the Lord. Praise God as he passes by. What a comfort this text affords. He's near. But there's not only a comforting text. There's a compelling truth. And it's this. He may be found. Verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly, note the word, he will abundantly pardon. Not just pardon, abundant pardon. You see, by nature, we are far from God. Isaiah 59, and Isaiah 53 rather, and verse 6 declares, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid in him the iniquity of us all. In chapter 59 and verse 2 of Isaiah, tells us your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Far away, you know, in many senses from sinners, and yet he's near. Praise the Lord. Man is not in close fellowship with God, but the wonder is he can be found. Friend, you've got to seek him. There's much that men can't do, but there's something that you surely can do, and it's to seek. It's something you've got to do earnestly. This is no half-hearted thing. This is a very important, yea, vital decision that you'll make, the most important one in all your life. You've got to do it earnestly, and I would say to you, you've got to do it immediately. Mr. Paisley had a great sermon many years ago. I heard it a few times. He called it the folly of procrastination. That is, putting something off. Don't put it off. Don't say tomorrow I will come to Jesus. But say now I will come tonight, this moment. John Bunyan heard that voice that said within him, Bunyan, will you have your sins and go to hell? Or will you leave your sins and come to heaven? Thank God that old Puritan came to Christ and went to heaven. You see, you've got to leave your sins behind. The Bible speaks about repentance. You can't be saved without repentance. Repentance is a turning away from, a forsaking. So a man was walking out of the church down that middle aisle, and I shouted to him, stop. And he stopped in his tracks and turned right round to face me. He's repenting. It's a complete turnaround. It's a willingness to forsake your sin and your sinning and simply to come to Christ by faith. You've got to do it immediately, and you do it by seeking him. You've got to do it prayerfully. That's what the word seek indicates. You can't be saved without it. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And folks, whatever you seek for in this life, seek first him. Every marriage that I've done over the last big number of years, I've always preached in the text in Matthew 6 to the young couple as they stood before me at the front of the church. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I know when you marry, it's important to think about a home, maybe an improvement in your work status, a whole lot of things you've got to think about. But that text says, seek ye first. That's the priority. It's first, the kingdom. And when you seek the kingdom of God, you find the Savior. And that, of course, is the foundation and ground of the work you need to stand on. Seek first. There's a comforting text. He's near. There's a compelling truth. He may be found. But there's a challenging thought. It says, while he may be found, and while he is near. You see, he won't always be found, as we said earlier. This present life is the limit to this invitation. After mortal life will cease. Beloved, after time shall be no more. then there is no hope. You must trust the Lord, yes, but you must trust him now. Avail of the opportunity that's now before you. Give your heart to the Savior. I read a story of a young lady who was urged to trust Christ after she attended a gospel mission. Hesitating, she said, "I'll seek the Lord tomorrow." But the next evening when it came, instead of going to the mission, she accepted an invitation from a friend to go to the dance. When her mother reminded her of her promise, she said, "Mom, I don't want to disappoint you, and I don't want to disappoint John. I'm going out with him tonight," she said, "if it kills me." She went upstairs to dress. John arrived, and after waiting for some time, her mother, there was no response when she shouted up the stairs. When she went to investigate, she found the young girl slumped over her dressing table. A heart attack, sudden and unexpected, had ended her life. Folks, that young lady, in an instant, was gone. She put off receiving Christ at the cost of her soul. What about you? What about sinners in the meeting, if there are any such? Here's a challenging thought. It's only when he's to be found, and it's only when he is near. I've often told the story in my own ministry in Dungannon. A man that was in his 50s, greatly troubled with arthritis and all of that, lived in the country outside Dungannon. Wasn't a member of my church, but for some reason he sort of took on to me. Believe it or not, he liked me. And he said to me one day, "You know, Mr. Baxter, I'm Church of Ireland. And when the rector comes to see me, and I see him coming up the driveway, I hide and just pretend I'm not at home. But," he said, "you're always welcome here." And we had some great talks with that fella. And I impressed upon him, as you would know, his need of Christ. The last time I was with him, he walked me down to the driveway to my car on the roadside. We were chatting. I got into the car, I wound down the window. Well, I didn't wind it down, I pushed a button and it went down. And I said to him, naming him, "You know, it's really time that you came to the Savior." I'll never forget his response. He looked up the country road one way, then the other. He looked in at me in the car and he said, "Mr. Baxter, there's one thing I know for sure. One thing I'm certain about. I wouldn't like to die without Christ." And that's all he said. I went on heavy-hearted, of course. I wouldn't push or press him. He may have been thinking, I don't know. 2 days later, he was in the home of a Free Presbyterian man. They were sitting chatting. The lady of the house said, "I'll go and make you a cup of tea." She got up, she went to the kitchen. As she opened the door to go in, she heard this thump behind her. And she looked round, and that man, my friend, was lying across the floor, dead. Not even a prolonged thing, he was dead. A couple of days after, he told me he wouldn't like to go out into a lost eternity. I fear that he did, but I hope not. And I made a vow to God that day, at the day of his funeral. And I wasn't even involved in his funeral. And as long as God allowed me to draw breath, when I have the opportunity to preach the gospel of Christ, I would take it. And I would use it to warn people to fear and to flee from the wrath to come. I've seen those strange things happen. They're not just stories. Things that I witnessed myself. Seen men die. One man, I'm thinking about him at this, I close the meeting. One man who had committed sins that are so heinous, I couldn't even tell you what they were in this mixed congregation. It was the vilest of the vile. Worse than anything you could probably imagine. I went to see that man at the request of a family member. The rest of the family were gathered around his bedside, but they didn't want me near the place. But I leaned over to that man, right into his ear, and I pleaded with him to give his heart to Christ. I said, you know, it's still not too late. You can still be saved. Mustering up all the strength that he had left in his body, he said in a very definite voice, no, no. And in a short while, that man was gone. Friend, this is real. The text simply says to seek the Lord while he's to be found and call upon him while he is near. And I trust if you've never done that, that you'll do it tonight. You'll get right with God even where you sit. You'll come to Christ in this house. And you'll come tonight. May God help you to do it for Jesus' sake.